Well, here we are outside St. Thomas's Church in Douglas. And we were talking with Katie King from M&H a couple of weeks ago about the Heritage Open Days. And this, Christy, is the site of one of the Heritage Open Days. If we go inside, I think we'll find somebody that we know fairly well who might be able to tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, let's. Now, it's a long time since I've been in here. I have to admit, probably not since I was a child. Oh, the doors are magnificent, actually. And this will be one of those moments where you find yourself looking up and left and right and around, I think, as you go in. Behave yourself in here, Beth.
Oh, wow. It's beautiful. There is something about being in a church which instantly makes you want to be quiet. But if you look up here, and I don't think I've ever been in this church, actually, but that artwork on the arches is incredible.
It's absolutely breathtaking, actually. And yeah, I'm sure Charles will be able to tell us more about it. But yeah, the artwork and also the carpentry is stunning, and I can see a beautiful organ. And standing quite near the organ, which is probably a place he feels quite comfortable, is one Charles Gard. I believe you're wearing your organ shoes, Charles.
I am. They're slightly narrower because when you're playing the pedals, if you've got big boots on, you're more likely to play several notes at once.
So, St. Thomas's Church, then, you're going to be doing one of the Heritage Open Day talks in here. You know an awful lot about this place. What do you most love about this church?
Well, I've been practicing the organ here since I was in my teens, actually, so I've got great affection for it. I just love the smell in here. There's a sort of smell of polish and wood, and of course the incredible decorations, and the island's finest pipe organ, the biggest and finest. I just love making a big noise on that.
And what you've got is a photograph of this church from about 1860. Can we have a quick look at that? Because it shows, I think, just the difference that happened between that time and, I think, the 1890s when all the artwork was done. So what have we got here?
Well, this is taken looking towards the altar in 1860. And the first thing you can see is there's no decoration, or very, very simple decoration. It's all painted white. The organ is very invisible. It must be in one of the little balconies, alcoves at the top. No big screen, the rude screen that we've got behind us now. So all this was added in the 1890s. The vicar, then Canon Savage, decided he'd raise the money to do these amazing murals, and he commissioned John Miller Nicholson and his team to paint them. It took about 15 years. And now, I think you'd agree, they're just stunning. And they are some of the finest in the British Isles.
15 years to do this. I mean, I can understand why, because they are absolutely breathtaking. And that's obviously John Miller Nicholson, the artist who, of some repute. I mean, a fantastic artist.
Yes, of course, he did big stencils first, and they were traced onto the walls. After hours, the two men must have sat for hours discussing all the symbolism, the Old Testament down there with the angels with the flaming swords, the tree of life, and the Lamb of God, all these wonderful things, right up to the New Testament here with this multitude which no man could number. You can see all the faces there, the Annunciation, St. Michael and the Dragon, and then above the altar, the tree of life restored. All highly symbolic. He wrote a little book about it all. And Nicholson's team of painters, because he was in fact running a painting and decorating company at the time in Well Road Hill, they were employed for years and years. And when they restored these murals a few years ago, they began to find signatures of some of the workmen. And Lewis Kane, way up the top there, just penciled in, "I'm sick of this. I've been on it for 3 years." So they must have dreaded coming down here just to fill in all these patterns.
And something else which is incredibly significant and beautiful are the stained glass windows as well.
They are. You can see a Manx one at the far end there at the top with the three legs in. A great variety, and some of them are very old, obviously, dating back to the 19th century.
And there was something of an argument that happened over St. Thomas's. And I know this is something you'll go into in more detail during the Heritage Open Day, but there really was quite a battle over it.
Extraordinary. Only the Church of England could produce an unholy row like this. At the time, this was the parish of Braddon, and this church was built for the poor of Douglas and for the tourists. The vicar of Braddon, John Drury, decided he had the authority to appoint the vicar here. The bishop, the Reverend Horatio Powis, decided that he had the power. And so they wouldn't speak to each other. And in the end, the bishop confiscated the keys to the church, and it was locked for 5 years. There were court cases, there were bricks thrown through the windows of Bishop's Court. The bishop was taken to court for insulting the advocates of the vicar, and it's only when he finally retired and went to England and the church commissioners stepped in that the matter was resolved. Amazing.
That is extraordinary when you think as well in those times, church was essential for people. And when you think of the hordes that used to come to church on the Isle of Man, you can see why that would create quite a stir.
Well, all the newspapers were agog, and the wonderful letters, florid letters insulting John Drury and all the rest of it. It was a real gripping saga, actually. And you're right, it was built for the poor of Douglas. And at that time, tourism was beginning to take off. And these poor people suddenly were locked out of their church for 5 years, a ridiculous squabble.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely bonkers. We're standing beside, though, as well, as you mentioned, the organ, and you said it is a very special piece, this.
Well, it's the largest one on the island. It's got, I haven't personally counted them, but I've tried to work it out, 1,973 pipes, give or take one or two. The wonderful thing is it's all pneumatic. There's no electricity involved in it. There's electric light now there, but that would have been a gas light. The mechanism inside, if you want to come up in the minute, I'll show you, is absolutely astonishing. And for anyone who likes making a big noise, this is the instrument to be on.
Can we go and have a good look at the mechanism then?
You know, we're so lucky, Beth, to get this sort of insight into these marvellous places on the Isle of Man. But that's what's so superb about this Heritage Open Days, is because the public get to do this too.
I know, and this is a building that'll be so familiar to lots of people. They may walk past it daily on their commute to work, mm-hmm. but they will not know anything of the history of it. But thanks to Charles, mm-hmm. During the next couple of weekends, they will.
Oh, my word. So you've opened a door to another world, really.
Absolutely. These are the reservoirs that store the air for the organ. They're like great water beds. They're about the size of a billiard table. And all the amazing mechanism, thousands and thousands of tiny lead pipes, all put in the 1860s. And restored in 1913, and all full of compressed air. It's just an astonishing. And beyond there, if one of you wants to climb up that little ladder, you have to be quite small to get in here.
That would be Beth.
You'll start to see the 1,973 pipes.
No way. I'm going to try and follow her in. I mean, this is what a tiny space to try and fit all this into as well. And a Beth. Oh, I mean, that's quite something. Gosh, this is extraordinary. Beth, what can you see?
Just a marvel. The Victorians were incredible, weren't they? I know we say this a lot, but my goodness.
Please don't fall. How did they get in this space? The working conditions to create this must have been so tricky.
Yes, and I must pay tribute to our resident genius organ builder, Peter Jones, who comes and restores all these instruments and keeps them in tip-top condition. He is one of the finest organ builders in the British Isles. Terribly lucky to have him on the island. Anything that happens in any of the organs, there's over 70 of them on the island, they're all in immaculate condition.
And it's also been lovely to share this experience with Emily, who's been with us this week on Work Experience. You've got some questions for Charles.
Yeah, I do. So, Charles, how long have you been involved with the Heritage Open Days?
Since the very first year, and I can't remember how long that is. It's probably six or 7 years. It's the 10th anniversary, mm-hmm. right? Well, I've been doing it for 10 years then. Gosh, time passes quickly, doesn't it? It was something I think started in the UK because it's nationwide, and the Isle of Man got involved with tremendous vigour. And each year there are Albert Tower this year. I mean, that's a brilliant opportunity to go up there. So mm-hmm. 10 years, yes.
And speaking of opportunities, what's been your favourite opportunity out of all the Heritage Open Days?
Of all the tours I do, this is the one personally I like the best because I love playing the organ and I love this church. And some people said, oh, I'm not going to that. It's very highbrow. Well, it's not highbrow at all. It's really good fun. And, you know, just even looking at these decorations, whether you know anything about the Old Testament or not, is a fantastic experience.
Mm-hmm. And you are definitely someone who just revels, don't you, in finding out how things work.
Indeed, I've always been fascinated by this. I mean, I was just doing these little pneumatic things, these little tubes here all were there, the complexity of the mechanism, and it works perfectly and instantly. You know, if I'm playing a very fast piece, the response is just as quick as any electronics today. And lots of lovely soft flutes. And the
the big organ sound.
So we thought what we just saw was extraordinary, but now Charles is taking us somewhere else, and he said, we haven't seen the most exciting bit yet, so we're going downstairs, around some corners, past the tea supplies, which every good church should have. Oh, we're sort of going into the bowels here. Oh, where are we? What is this?
This is the blower, which is a huge fan in that case with an electric motor that itself is an antique, probably dating from the 1940s, which is supplying all the wind to the organ, a vast amount of wind under pressure. But before this was installed, it was run on water power from water from a reservoir in Summerhill Glen. And I only discovered this fairly recently because there's a secret passage here. If you'd like to come down here,
hardly
anyone ever does this.
Oh, this is so exciting.
How much space does the organ itself take up with all of this, do you think?
Well, you can see it's brilliantly designed for all this to fit in a tiny room. Now, this is an early reservoir in the instrument. It's absolutely vast. How they got it in here, I don't know. And here are reciprocating bellows that went up and down, driven, if you just kneel down, by this incredible water pump fed here through this pipe. And this hasn't been used for maybe a century or more, I don't know. But in the old days, the water from Summerhill Reservoir would pump these up and down. You just turn this valve on in the morning when you were getting ready to start, and it would supply the air for the organ. And this water is in a pipe that came from that reservoir along the promenade and fed the steam packet vessels. They would fill up with drinking water there, but there were extensions coming off. One went into Yates's wine lodge and worked a power lift to lift the beer up and down from the cellar. And that's what was used in here as well. Absolutely incredible.
Gosh, the ingenuity. I mean, it's just astonishing, isn't it?
And you just get a sense of history just even being in here, don't you? That idea that, you know, this hasn't been looked at properly or used for a century.
A century, probably. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
And there's still so many discoveries like that around the Isle of Man, which is the thing you absolutely love, Charles.
I certainly do. The thrill of finding this, I mean, no one told me about it. I just saw it. I opened that door and I couldn't believe walking down this long, narrow passage and finding this here. It was incredible.
So how did you actually work out what it was?
Well, these sort of water pumps were used on other instruments. So I had a friend come down who's a bit of an engineer and look at all the pipes and see how it might have worked. I'd love to turn that valve and see what happens, but I'm afraid that the water might flood in and I couldn't switch it off, and then we'd be underwater here, so I'm not going to touch it.
He's mischievous, isn't he?
Don't leave me here, because I don't think I'll do much for the organ sound. Okay.